This is the European Debrief by Atlas News. Welcome to the European Debrief. Starting off, we dive into the European Union's momentous $54 billion aid package for Ukraine, unpacking its significance and exploring the ripples it creates across the international landscape. After weeks of negotiations and a previous veto by Hungary, the EU finally reached a unanimous agreement to provide Ukraine with much-needed financial assistance. This 50 billion euros package, spread over 3 years, aims to bolster Ukraine's war-torn economy, ensuring basic services like healthcare and pensions continue functioning. This stability is crucial for Ukraine's resilience in the face of ongoing conflict. The road to this agreement wasn't smooth. Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban's initial veto sparked frustration among other European leaders, with some accusing him of putting personal agendas above Ukraine's critical needs. The delay further highlighted the complexities of navigating a united front within the EU, particularly when dealing with member states with differing political stances. The eventual passage of the aid package signifies more than just financial support. It sends a strong message of solidarity from Europe, reaffirming its commitment to Ukraine's security and future. This gesture is particularly timely given the ongoing discussions about US aid and potential, quote, Ukraine fatigue within some Western nations. The EU's leadership role in providing aid could put pressure on the US to follow suit. However, internal and external factors within the US Senate create uncertainty about their own aid package's passage. While the EU funding focuses on internal needs, the US aid is expected to prioritize military equipment, further diversifying the support Ukraine receives. Some see this development as a sign of a maturing European Union, capable of acting independently in its own strategic interests. This comes amidst concerns raised by former US President Trump regarding NATO's future, leading some Europeans to question the reliability of traditional alliances. The swift and decisive action on Ukraine could be interpreted as a step towards greater European autonomy. While accusations of war fatigue have been leveled at some European governments, the EU's recent actions and the development of a rapid deployment corridor for NATO troops suggest otherwise. These decisive moves seem to indicate a renewed commitment to supporting Ukraine and potentially strengthening European security structures. The EU's $54 billion aid package is a significant development in the ongoing war in Ukraine. While its financial impact is undeniable, the broader implications go beyond immediate economic relief. It signifies European unity, sends a message of solidarity, and hints at a potentially more assertive EU on the world stage. As the war unfolds and alliances are tested, this decision could be seen as a turning point, not just for Ukraine, but for the future of European security and international cooperation. Next, the UK government's controversial Safety of Rwanda Bill, designed to deport asylum seekers and illegal immigrants to Rwanda, has cleared a key hurdle in the House of Lords. While it passed the second reading, significant scrutiny and potential amendments lie ahead. Let's delve into the details, the roadblocks, and the wider implications of this bill. Despite passing the second reading, the bill faces strong opposition. The unelected House of Lords has raised concerns about its legality and ethics. Archbishop Welby called it damaging to the UK's reputation, while Labour's Lord Coker expressed opposition but vowed not to block it. Even within the governing Conservative Party, there's dissent, with a sizable rebellion led by former Minister Robert Jenrick seeking to limit deportation powers. The bill stems from a deal with Rwanda to deter dangerous channel crossings by migrants. However, the UK Supreme Court struck down the initial deal in November, deeming Rwanda unsafe for deportees. The new bill and agreement aim to address those concerns, but critics remain sceptical. Prime Minister Sunak views this bill as central to his Stop the Boats initiative, aiming to curb illegal immigration and human trafficking. He claims the plan is working, citing reduced boat arrivals. However, opponents argue it's inhumane and undermines the UK's international obligations. The bill now enters the committee stage, where it will be scrutinised and potentially amended. Key points of contention include the definition of safe countries, limitations on appeal rights, and the ability of external bodies like the European Court of Human Rights to intervene. The debate surrounding this bill goes beyond policy. It raises questions about the UK's approach to immigration, its commitment to human rights, and its relationship with the European Union. The bill's ultimate fate will likely be shaped by ongoing legal challenges, public pressure, and internal party dynamics. Now we move to Germany, as Germany's political landscape has been shaken by bribery charges against two former MPs, Axel Fischer and Eduard Lindner, accused of receiving millions from Azerbaijan in exchange for favorable political support. This event sheds light on a wider, quote, Azerbaijan laundromat network spanning Europe, exposing corruption and raising concerns about human rights and regional tensions. Prosecutors allege Fischer and Lindner, both members of the Christian Democratic Union, CDU and PACE, Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe, accepted bribes from Azerbaijan between 2012 and 2016. In return, they are accused of voting in Azerbaijan's favor, altering human rights reports, and providing positive public support. This scandal extends beyond these two individuals. Karin Strenz, another former MP, had similar accusations before her death in 2021. Investigations continue into Lindner's son, an employee, and other European MPs potentially involved. Moreover, German prosecutors are targeting an Azeri ex-MP suspected of managing the bribery network. The Organized Crime and Corruption Reporting Project, OCCRP, first exposed the Azerbaijan laundromat in 2017, revealing a slush fund used to influence European politicians. This network allegedly provided bribes, gifts, and trips to sway votes and lobby in Azerbaijan's favor. This coincides with a deterioration in relations between Azerbaijan and PACE, culminating in Azerbaijan's withdrawal after a vote against ratifying their credentials due to human rights concerns. Azerbaijan justifies its withdrawal from PACE, citing racism and lack of support regarding the Nagorno-Karabakh conflict. They blame Armenia for aggression and claim victory in restoring territorial integrity. However, their recent offensive and reported ethnic cleansing in Artsakh raise international concerns. Next, in a bold move, Italy unveiled the Mattei Plan at the recent Italy-Africa summit, aiming to reshape its relationship with the continent. Named after the pioneering energy leader Enrico Mattei, the plan outlines ambitious projects spanning education, healthcare, food security, climate, and energy, all under the banner of, quote, a bridge for common growth. But can Italy deliver on its promises? And will the Mattei Plan truly pave the way for a more equitable partnership between Africa and Europe? Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni has been critical of the charity-like approach often taken by Western nations towards Africa. The Mattei Plan seeks to move beyond that, emphasizing partnerships built on mutual respect and shared benefits. This translates into projects like vocational training centers in Morocco, teacher exchanges, and healthcare expansion in Côte d'Ivoire. Africa's vast agricultural potential is undermined by food insecurity. The plan tackles this head-on with initiatives to improve food production and quality across the continent. Italy also aims to address water access, crucial for sustainable agriculture and development. The plan hinges on Italy becoming a natural gas hub for Europe, utilizing African energy sources. This aligns with Europe's need to diversify its energy mix after the Ukraine war exposed vulnerabilities. A biofuel project in Kenya exemplifies this approach, aiming to involve 400,000 farmers by 2027. While the Mattei Plan's ambition is commendable, questions linger. Italy's historical ties lie primarily with North Africa, raising concerns about its understanding of sub-Saharan dynamics. The initial budget of 5.5 billion euros seems insufficient, highlighting the need for broader international collaboration. Doubts also stem from limited consultation with the African Union beforehand. The Mattei Plan represents a shift away from exploitative models of engagement with Africa. It acknowledges the continent's potential and proposes a collaborative approach to tackling shared challenges. However, successful implementation hinges on transparency, inclusivity, and a genuine commitment to shared prosperity. Only time will tell if the Mattei Plan lives up to its promise and ushers in a new era of equitable cooperation between Africa and Europe. And finally, European agriculture is embroiled in a heated conflict, with farmers across the continent taking to the streets in protest against a confluence of factors. The EU's Common Agricultural Policy revamp imposes stricter environmental regulations, including reduced fertilizer use, fallow land requirements, and crop rotation mandates. Farmers fear these will decrease competitiveness and harm production. Additionally, Ukrainian grain imports, allowed due to the war, have overwhelmed European markets with larger-scale, less regulated production, impacting Eastern European farmers particularly. Droughts necessitate water restrictions in Western Europe, impacting crop yields. Individual governments add to the strain with policies like Germany's planned diesel subsidy phase-out for agricultural equipment. Diesel, essential for farm machinery, has seen a dramatic price increase due to global factors and the war in Ukraine. Additionally, regulations like the phase-out of diesel subsidies in Germany further add to the financial burden. The situation varies across Europe. Eastern European farmers, particularly in Poland, are directly impacted by Ukrainian competition. Western European farmers, facing drought and water restrictions, grapple with the additional burden of new regulations and subsidy cuts. The EU and member states are attempting to address the farmers' concerns through dialogue. Discussions focus on finding sustainable solutions, potentially including relaxing some regulations, easing restrictions on Ukrainian imports, and reducing administrative burdens. Some EU members, like Poland, are taking independent action. Polish Prime Minister Tusk plans to meet with Ukrainian representatives to discuss grain trade solutions. While dialogue is ongoing, the effectiveness remains uncertain. Farmers and politicians alike express skepticism about the upcoming meeting between the EU Commission and farmers' unions. Some believe the issues are too complex for immediate solutions and may become major election issues. This has been the European Debrief by Atlas News, covering this week's top stories from Europe.